Plenty of footy still to come. Matt Randell to have a chat. Some tennis, Brett Phillips as well. A couple of your emails and a few of your, in fact, your speckled texts I'll read out right now. 0433 98 11 16, and jump on the line if you want to have a chat. It's about talkback. Love your calls. 1300 736 736 is the number if you want to get on the line now. A text from the J-Man: the 80s and 90s were much better than today's football. You know it's better when all you can remember of the modern game is the defensive mechanisms like Clarko's cluster and the Weagle's web and the Magpies' forward press. Youngsters who say the game is better now have no perspective. The 80s, 90s, early 2000s, more high marks, more goals, more one-on-one contests and bumps, just more highlights in general. Modern game has more congestion, keepings off, and less scoring. Jimmy, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with a few of those things. G'day, Dwayne. I watched the Essendon North Melbourne comeback game on Channel 7 during the weekend. Two bits of commentary, old commentary made during that game, stood out. Talked that the full forwards are a dying breed and that the game had become boring. There you go. That was back in 2001, 20 years on, 20 years ago. So you'd rather watch a game where it's 7 points to 1-5-11 halfway through the second quarter than footy back in the 90s and 2000s. Much more free-flowing and more goals back then as well. And the skill level is up for debate. There's another text that's come through. But people that are saying today's footy is better aesthetically obviously love seeing 36 players around the ball, messy congestion, the stifling of expressive football, and more scores coming from soft free kicks as opposed to a mark or a contested mark, God forbid. Yeah, one thing that, having caught a few of the old games, and I've got to repeat this, and that is that more instinct and play on immediately was the first thought. Players were left to their own devices to decide what was best to do when they got the ball, not get it and then think what the game plan was and here's what I have to do, otherwise I'll get dragged. Brett Phillips, host of The First Serve every Monday night on SEN. You can catch up on the podcast now. So jump on the SEN website and download the podcast and you can hear what was on last night's show. Thanks to the Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking to buy, rent, sell or have your investment property managed, head to www.topagents.com.au. Welcome to you, Brett. Great to have you on.
Thank you, Dwayne. Pleasure.
What did you throw up? What do I get on the podcast if I download it? Not that you want to tell everybody what was on the podcast, because you want them to download it.
Well, I think one thing, one interesting thing that Sam Groth brought up last night, Dwayne, and Grothy's looking ahead. What's, and like all sports, you know, we're in this period of no activity, so it's now about the long-term planning. What does the vision look like? It's a chance for, you know, a lot of sports to really reset. And what Grothy threw up last night was really interesting. I mean, he's a big, you know, golfing fan, plays a fair bit of golf these days, considering the tennis career is no longer. And he's, you know, talked about possibly tennis maybe following golf. I mean, there's a lot of similarities. You know, they're played all year round and all parts of the globe. We've got Aussies travelling the world. But does tennis maybe look at adopting the golf structure of having, you know, different tours, a US tour, a European tour, an Asian tour, an Australasian tour? I mean, the cream is still going to rise to the top, because the biggest issue in tennis right now, and the players who are ranked outside the top 100 are going to do a pretty tough one over the next 6 to 8 months with no income coming in, is the cost to travel and the fairly low, you know, prize money offerings there are down the pecking order at tennis. So if you, you know, actually strip away a lot of the travel and have, for example, here in Australasia, Australia, New Zealand, other parts where you might have 25, 30 tournaments a year, does that help more players make a living out of the game? So he threw that up last night, and a bit of detail around that. So you can check that out in the podcast. I'll give you an example. Chris O'Connell was our special guest last night. Great chat. He won 84 matches on the tour last year. Phenomenal rise to be on the cusp of the top 100. He's queuing up at Centrelink like most at the moment, because he's got no income going forward for the foreseeable future. And he's a guy that's had to you know, base himself in Europe last year. He had a friend who was a physio, I think, based in Belgrade in Serbia. And he kept his travel costs right down just to be able to progress up the rankings. And then he drifted onto the US circuit later in the year. So lots of things for tennis to consider, Dwayne, as they try and plot the path forward.
So you're thinking we could have a South Australian Open and a Victorian Open and a Western Australian Open as a tour around Australia?
Well, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, Sam certainly mentioned that, you know, it's still a chance for players to, and look, there's a lot that you'd have to look at in terms of rankings. You know, how does it look from a world stage point of view? I mean, you might have the challenger circuit for those who are making their way up to the ATP tour here in Australia. You might have 10 to 15 events, you know, $100,000 prize money throughout the year across some of those big states that you mentioned. So, you know, it's all about trying to keep the travel costs down. That's the biggest issue in tennis right now that's really confronting a lot of players who may not recover from this pandemic and, you know, get back on the tour.
Yeah, and the big players travel with about a 15-person entourage as well these days, Brett, which accelerates the travel cost that they're in, but they're getting it paid for because they're millionaires. Great to have you, Brett. Download the podcast. Brett Phillips, host of The First Serve, every Monday night on SEN, but you can catch up with the podcast of last night's show right now. Thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking to buy, rent, sell, or have your investment property managed, head to www.topagents.com.au. And a quick reminder that you can check out The Bowl Show as well, hosted by Jack Heverin, former International Bowler of the Year, Matthew Flapper. Sundays from 11 a.m. on 7.2 and 7+, and Tuesdays 5 p.m. at Fox Sports and KO. And you can download the Dwayne's World podcast anytime you like as well.